Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. We just want to honor you today as we come together, Lord God, that our hearts would be knit together for your purposes. We ask that you would not only unveil your word, but your spirit to us as God, that you just create in us, Lord, a pure heart, clean hands, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So the last couple of weeks, just give you a quick review. We've been talking about the woman in Proverbs 31, you know, how she's the ideal woman, but we compared it to the body of Christ and being the bride. So it's not something that you have to you have to become all these things of perfection, right? We've talked about that. But it's the bride is the body, and that we each have a part, you know. And so we talked about that. And also too, last week we talked about Esther and how we can look at the book of Esther as the same kind of a corporate company of people as women, you know, that we are an Esther company, and that it's not just this story, but we can have it, we can look at it with a perspective that it's an expression of what the church is in this, probably especially in this hour, but what the church is, what the body is, right? And a lot of us are familiar with the book of Esther. And you know, like when we were talking about the Proverbs 31 woman, and when we talk about Esther, we have to realize that it was a whole process for the Proverbs 31 woman. It didn't happen overnight. Same thing with Esther. She wasn't, you know, here and then becomes queen, right? So actually, the book of Esther spans a decade of time. And how impatient we are here, right? In our nation for, you know, fast food. It's not coming fast enough, and everything. We're always in a hurry, you know, and it really behooves us to really just take a step back, take a breath, and just enjoy the moment. Be present in the moment, you know. We waste so much time feeling bad about what we did or who we were and what we should be, but we don't enjoy the process or the journey of that state of becoming, you know, the state of sanctification. So, like Esther, we are a collective body of believers, and we are undergoing sanctification, and we are, as the church, as the bride, we are actively preparing for eternal union in Christ. And we know that in the future, there's the marriage of the Lamb, right, that we read about in the book of Revelation. And then we also know the story of the 10 virgins, right, that some were prepared and some were not prepared. Now, it doesn't say in that scripture that, you know, actually, they paid a cost for not being prepared, right? But it doesn't say they went to hell or anything like that. So there are going to be some people that are going to be unprepared. But the ones that are prepared are going to lead the way, right? Because they got oil in their lamps. They've been given the light. They know that, you know, the word of the Lord is in their heart and it guides their path. And so to me, I see like that story of the 10 virgins, that there are people that are going to be leading the way. You know, they're the ones that are, you know, the beachheads, you know, taking the initial steps in the land, so to speak. But you know, it doesn't mean that the other five virgins or people that are unprepared, they're going to be caught unawares, right? but it doesn't mean that they're not saved. Okay. We also know too that there's a promise for when we get to eternity that all our lives are going to be put to the flame, and we're going to see what's, rubble, hay, gold, and things that are precious are going to be separated from the things that are worthless. And the more we are prepared, the greater amount of the riches of the kingdom are ours here on earth, let alone in the kingdom to come. So I like to envision it this way. When you think of God as in Revelation, where there's no night, no day, that God himself is the light, that his light so emanates that even if you have a crowd, that light is going to project from the very being of him and extend all the way out to wherever maybe those, five virgins are, but they're all in the light. That's how I like to think of it, So, and I also, it gives me great comfort and consolation to know that our God is good, and that, when we look at the story of the thief on the cross, for instance, we know, all he did was recognize that Jesus was who he said he was. He didn't go to Bible study, never did a worship service. He just was there in the moment, and God in Jesus said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." So it's really about belief. Now, again, some may be hanging on the gate. I don't know. That's not that's above my pay grade. I'm just saying that God is so lovely and generous in his kindness and love to us that even in the state at the threshold of eternity, I believe that his spirit speaks to those that are unable to speak, unable to, they're just in, like that state where they can't do anything. And really, when it comes down to it, we can't do anything to earn God's favor or salvation except for what the thief did believe, and it would be wisdom for us to be like those five virgins and prepare, right? So we know that when we are prepared, things go a little bit smoother, right? We're not in a panic. We don't have anxiety. We have a method, we have steps to follow. So to me, one of the blessings of being prepared is having that shalom peace in your heart, that you are trusting God in a radical way. And whatever comes your way, you're going to be met with his grace to do or be or say whatever is necessary in the moment. So I love that. So I love the fact that when we think of Esther and the Proverbs 31 woman, that the bride, the body, the church prepares herself for marriage. We are betrothed to God. And in the ancient days, when you were getting married, you actually were considered married at the engagement level, where what we would consider the engagement level, right? And then the bridegroom, like I said last week, would go away for a year and build a home for the wife, right? But when that all came down with Mary and Joseph, see, it says, he thought maybe he could divorce her quietly. So if you're betrothed, you actually, if you don't want to consummate the marriage, you actually are getting a divorce. So it gives you this idea that we are engaged to God in the same way that Mary was engaged to Joseph, in that it's a commitment. And like the bride and the groom are separated from one another for that year while he goes and prepares a place for her, or how Jesus said he prepares a place for us, that It is like the first and the second coming. You know, it's like we have that relationship with the Lord. He's still with us in the Holy Spirit. And yet we know in the future there is his return coming. And that is where we look into the book of Revelation about the marriage of the Lamb and his bride. You know, so you know, we have to think of our preparation for what God is doing as a bride would prepare for a wedding. And as a bride prepares for a wedding, she does a lot of things, you know, to prepare. You know, she bathes and gets perfumed, and she has her hair done. And, you know, I mean, even in our day and time, there's a lot of, you know, money spent and investment in the wedding, right? And not so much in the marriage. Whereas as believers, it's both. We prepare ourselves, and it says in the scripture that the bride has made herself ready. And it also says that Jesus has prepared for himself a bride. So it's a relationship, right? So it's good to note that we are engaged, so to speak, or married to a bridegroom that is God Almighty. And that says a lot about who we are. See, because he chose us, he picked us, he desired us as his people. And what that does, it really lightens your heart from all the things that we think we're not, you know, or, you know, or the panic that comes from being unprepared. And the way that we prepare, right, is having a relationship with him and walking in obedience, right? But we only love him because he first loved us. If we don't receive the love of God first, like we do when we're born again, we are under the law, and we're just doing things out of duty and discipline and rules and regulations. And that is the very thing that Jesus in his coming fulfilled when it comes to what happened beforehand with the law. That it wasn't that the law was bad, it just was grace is better. And Jesus in his very being brought that kind of grace and confidence that we should have. You know, we should be wanting to be beautiful for him like we would for our bridegroom. You know, we might want to rehearse what we're going to say, you know, and that's where we come into, you know, that relationship with prayer. You know, I'm going to rehearse my vows, you know, when I'm looking for the Lord to return and in his coming, you know, I'm going to get in his word and I'm going to rehearse my vows. And I do it every week, you know, and we should be doing it daily as well. But when we come together corporately as the bride, we are rehearsing our vows. When we are in worship, we're just, Lord, we love you. God, we desire you. We exalt you together. So there's this bridal love that causes us to receive the grace of God. And the enemy does not want us to believe who God says we are as his bride, as his chosen, as his daughters, as his kids, you know. He does not want us to believe those things. So what does he do? He harasses us with all the things that we're not. You're not worthy, you're not faithful, you're not this, you aren't beautiful, you aren't this, you aren't that. And we've talked about that many, many times. But when you fall into that, you know, rehearsing all the things that you're not, you're going to fall under condemnation. And grace does not bring condemnation, correction, conviction. Yes, you know, we know when we've done wrong, right? And really, it's just we confess our sin and we have a new morning, you know, a new day in the Lord. So when we think of ourselves as the bride or the body or Proverbs 31 woman or Esther, we think of character. What makes the character of the bride, the body, Esther? You know, all of these, we've been in the genealogy with all these women that are in Matthew's genealogy that were, they were messed up. Prostitutes and, I mean, just, unbelievers with Ruth and just so many messed up lives. And yet God chooses the unlikeliest people to belong to him. He uses his wisdom to confound the wise. Yeah, none of us are worthy, but God, but Jesus, right? So the character are the things that we know. We're devoted. We're faithful. We do righteous acts. When we looked at Proverbs 31 woman, she took care of the needy. That was one of the hallmarks of who she was, that kind of character. And as Esther, when we get into the book of Esther, we're going to see that she not only takes care of the needy, but she actually, with the faith that is courageous, she spared her entire people group from destruction. And we'll get into the story later, but I mean, that's quality character in the lives of the women that we've been looking at. And, if we think of it in a corporate sense, we are better together than apart. You have giftings that I do not have. Some people, have giftings to give money. We have many people that don't have the money to give, but they do acts of service, or they help here or do this or do that, or they give a card to somebody who is, ill and needs encouragement. There are so many ways that we can display that kind of character, and it's so amazing when you get God's eyes to see one another the way he sees them, instead of like the enemy likes to give us conflict and, you know what I mean, infighting and all that kind of stuff, gossip, all that kind of stuff. You guys know all that stuff. But the bride, as is spoken in Revelation 19, verses 7 and 8, if you want to write it down, does righteous acts, and we are to do righteous acts, whether it's seen or not seen. It's like, dance like nobody's there kind of thing, or be faithful to the Lord when nobody's looking, all those kinds of things that we're told, but again, this whole description, this whole bridal imagery is about being dressed, in beauty, and we will see as we go into the book of Esther that there was a process for her, and it was amazing that she had 6 months of cleansing. Now, we have way more than 6 months. It's pretty much kind of an ongoing thing, right? 6 months of cleansing and then 6 months of beautification, okay, with the oils and the perfumes. You don't want to put, all that beautiful perfume on a stinky body, right? That you want to get rid of that first, right? And so we're kind of always in this process, right, of being cleansed and being beautified, so we are beloved sinners. And so you can't say it any better than that, we are both saints and sinners, and we are both flesh and spirit. And we know that in the process of becoming, the spirit is to grow and have dominance over our flesh, right? And so we'll go into a little bit of Esther. Now, I have to tell you, I have this Bible here that is not my usual Bible. That's why I'm giving you references, because I can't even find everything in here because it's by numbers, the pages and the books, and it'll take me forever. So I just don't want to do that to you guys. So I will give you some references to write down. You can do it, and I'll just tell you the story basically. So we see when Esther is first on the scene, she is an orphan girl, right? So no parents. And how many of you know, with a lot of that kind of issue, there's a lot of trauma and woundedness and pain that had to be cleansed. And what cleanses us? The washing of the water of the word. We are to bathe ourselves, shower ourselves under the word of God. Whether we understand it or not, it is deposited by the Spirit. And at some point or another, even if you don't understand it, it'll come up and you'll go, oh, yeah, that's what that means, you know? Or you're talking to somebody and you don't know what to say. And all of a sudden, you have a song that ministers to you and you convey that, or a message or a word or a scripture or whatever. So, again, when we think of the book of Esther and Esther herself from becoming a queen out of obscurity, and as an orphan, she becomes a new creation, like we are new creations in Christ, right? She's adopted, and we'll go into a lot of those scriptures next week, probably. But she is adopted by her uncle. I think it's her uncle. I want to say uncle cousin, Mordecai, who is a main figure in the book. But in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 5, it's a scripture about being predestined for adoption. So see, before you're even a wink in your mother and father's eyes, regardless of what kind of parents you had, God foreknew you. And you are fearfully and wonderfully made in his image. And you know, like last night at our class, we were talking about, you know, God delights in us. That's a hard concept to get around, because we just don't naturally feel, you know, am I a delight to God? I mean, come on, like, how can that be? But we are. We are. It's so much so that he sings over us. He sings over us, man. I mean, it's amazing. That's why when we're in worship in a collective, we're one voice, like we read in the book of Acts, one heart, one voice, you know, praising God. And how wonderful it is, and what a privilege it is, you know, that we are taken from being paupers to princesses, from orphans to queens, you know. And here's another scripture for you for reference, Galatians 4, verse 45. And with Esther now, she's an orphan who comes into the king's court, right? And she has a secret. When she comes into the court, no one knows that she is a Jew. Not the king, because he might have not written what he wrote later as far as the law goes, and we'll get into that. But she held that, just like Mary pondered things in her heart, because sometimes it's not the best thing to say everything, right? It's not wise to say everything. And see, she did have one of her characteristics was that she was very wise, you know, and she was wise in keeping that to herself until the appointed time, but she was also wise to listen to her elders and to, you know, Mordecai. And she had strategies. She was prepared. She was preparing, you know, like those virgins again. She hid the secret, which could have resulted in her eventual demise, death, and her people. So there was a lot at stake here in this story. And you know, when you think about it, if we are an Esther type company of people, you know, There will be a time in our history where the Lord prepares us, and like Esther, the famous verse, who knows if you have not been called for such a time as this? And that was for her, it was a specific time in the Jewish history. But for us as a bride or a company of believers, we are called for such a time as this, right? And sometimes those words ring true for small things in our lives, like, you were in the right place at the right time, and it was because God was with you. Or it could be something as cataclysmic as, the fall of our empire, so to speak, and the end of the world, so to speak, or whatever, catastrophe may be coming. And we are prepared. Now, I don't know if y'all have heard this, but I had this dream when I was a brand new believer, and I know that it was from God because it has never left me, even the very details of it. And what it was I was walking with the Lord. I was, preaching the word, and we were in like this, I want to say, kind of a complex. I'm not saying every detail was God, but I'm just saying the idea of it is definitely from the Lord. So we were in this complex, and there were all kinds of people, babies crying. No one could eat. There was no food, and I was running and running and preaching. It's going to be okay. The Lord is coming. It's get, you know, just encouraging people. And in my dream, when people would give up, they would instantly be in a uniform, like a world power uniform. And then they would turn on their own people. Now we know that idea is, described in scripture as well. People will think they're doing God a favor and turning real believers into stuff. So we know that we're in an hour where there's all kinds of false teachers, and ministries are being disassembled, and sin is being outed out with all kinds of things. And I mean, all we have to do is look at the whole Epstein thing, and that is has permeated, believe it or not, in churches as well. There have been human trafficking even in churches. So God is shaking things up, right? And we want to be able to stand in that day. So again, and maybe I will be almost done here till next week. In the whole book of Esther, God is not mentioned not one time. But he is the main character of the story because he is working. You know that we sing that song, even when we don't see it, you're working. Even when we don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. So God was at work all along, and it really points to his sovereign authority, that he is the main character, even when we don't see it. And so in every, especially as believers, now we know that the Lord has been with us even before we were born again, right? We can look back and see his hand was on our lives. We escaped some things, we've been healed of some things, and we've been graced with some things and blessed, because God blesses those that don't believe. He loves all humanity. He desires all humanity to be part of his family. But when we start getting into the book of Esther, we'll start seeing God at work in the underlying, it's kind of like that soil underneath. It's growing, but you don't see it until it pops up. And we'll see that in the story as well. And we'll start seeing the Lord in ways that we maybe didn't perceive before. I think it was Jacob that said, God was here and I knew it not. And I think a lot of times, that happens to us. We don't see him until after the fact, you know. We know goodness and mercy follows us. So that means, you know, it was something following us. And sometimes we got to look back and see, oh, you were there, you know, you were there in the valley of death. You were there in that crisis. You were there. And so we can learn more and more to trust him and to be courageous as the body of Christ. And, you know, we'll see in the coming days, you know, the whole idea of Haman, the enemy of the Jewish people, unbeknownst to him, that Esther was one of them and was placed in the court, right? And we'll go into that next week, but because there's just so much there, and I want to just open it up for discussion, you know, and we'll get into, you know, the Queen Vashti, you know, and you know, I mean, she was kind of for circumstances, God orchestrated it for Esther. You know, and so God does what he wants to do. He's sovereign. And the more we continue to prepare and follow him, and I'm not talking about legalism at all. Actually, it's probably so not that. As we respond to his love, we love him more. And really, our relationship with him has and is based on love from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation to Jesus at the cross. All of it is a pattern of God. You got Friday, Good Friday. You got Saturday, being in the middle, waiting, terrible, hard, crisis, trauma, whatever. And then you have Sunday. And you know, like we always say, you know, when we're in it, when we're going through, we say, Sunday's coming. We encourage each other, Sunday's coming. So, because we know as believers, the more we walk with the Lord, the greater authority we have, the greater anointing we have, but the greater crisis and trials we have as well, you know, with much responsibility, because comes much, you know, sorrow sometimes. So, heavy is the head that wears the crown, right? And so, as queens, as God's daughters, as part of the royal company of believers, we're gonna face some of those things. But God is able. He is so able. He is so able, you know. So with that, I am done.